You are listening to another presentation from the Environment Institute at the University of Adelaide.
Yeah, I have to say that I know, well, up until quite recently, I knew practically nothing about this topic. So it's thanks to Alan for dragging me in, kicking and screaming, because he needed someone to do the maths for him. And then Barry, also, we've sort of developed a lot of the modeling components of this. And Chris Turney, who's a dating guy from Exeter, who's going to be back in Australia.
Archaeological dating.
And so the four of us have been sort of working on this in bits and pieces. And the problem is that we haven't had a lot of time to develop this. Getting us all in the same room has been difficult. And Al and I just recently went to the recent meeting on the workshop they've organized there in the Duke, about a month ago now. Not quite, 3 weeks ago. And we've got a whole bunch more time series. So last night at 1 in the morning, I was still modeling this stuff. And then just this morning, when I thought this talk was 11, it was 12. So I was like, cut things short. I don't have the full story yet, but I'll at least tell you sort of where we're going. And so this is very much in progress, what we're doing. The first part of the talk is really about the modeling, and a lot of you who were at Port Elliot would have seen a lot of this stuff already a couple months ago. So I'll try to be as novel as I can. Second part is the application, and in this case we're applying it to megafauna extinction. So it's really trying to look at how you estimate when something disappears from the planet, when you can't observe it directly. So the problem is that when you look at a time series of records, and in this case we'll focus on AMS dated, radiocarbon dated material, usually bones or teeth or skin, then you can get a carbon date and you can get some sort of error on that. But what's to say that what you collected is necessarily representative of the actual time of extinction? So you've got things through time collected, and then the last one, that's the last time it was recorded, people just take that, and perhaps if they're clever, they will consider the error associated with that and say that's when it went extinct. But when a species becomes increasingly rare, it doesn't necessarily get detected, and certainly in the fossil record, for all sorts of reasons, to find taphonomic bias and what have you, that the last record that you collect from a dig in a cave or something isn't necessarily when that species went extinct. And so the last time of sighting or the last time of recording is often a poor estimate of the extinction date. So you can consider this sort of thing here where this is present this way, past. You've got a bunch of dates through time and they're, somewhat random. And then they get maybe sparser down here and also this is your last record. But do we know that they in fact didn't persist past that point? I think I've belabored that point enough, Alan, don't you think? There's several techniques that people use to infer what the true extinction date might be based on some assumptions of different kinds of distributions. Sort of one of the probably more famous ones was Robinson-Solo in their 2003 paper in Nature, where they looked at the dodo sighting record. For this particular sighting record, it's just someone said, yep, it's all dodo, as opposed to digging something up in the ground. And there was no error associated. They assumed that the sighting date was in fact accurate. There was some anecdotal information included. And what they've done here is they've taken, they assumed that the tail end of this sighting distribution, so if you can think about the times, these particular times here, will follow the tail end of a viral distribution, which is really sort of a drawn out log normal distribution. And you can estimate extinction times by all these lovely different equations that we've put together. And what you can do is you can get the shape parameter for this joint viral distribution for the number of records that you do have, and then you can get this theta, or estimated extinction time, plus a confidence interval. Now, this doesn't take into account any of the associated error with dates. As I said, in this particular instance, you're assuming that those dates were fixed and they're known. The obvious problem with that, this is just an example, some real data. These are Alaskan mammoths